Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville. FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and everybody, welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Yeah. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 14, verse 21, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 14, verse 21. Now, last week, we left off with God having given Abram, he's not yet Abraham, the victory in the slaughter of the kings. These mean kings had come against Sodom and Gomorrah, which is also pretty wicked, and had captured Abram's nephew Lot, and had stolen Lot and all his possessions. Well, Abram went and rescued them. And as Abram was coming back with the treasures and spoils of the enemy, that just made him richer and richer, and Lot and all the people who rescued them, he was met by a magnificent being called Melchizedek. Melchi means king. Zedek means just, king of the just. Are you just? Are you justified by faith? Yes. Who is your king? Jesus. And so we studied a little bit in Hebrews 7, and we found that Melchizedek is the pre-incarnate Jesus before he ever came through the womb of the Virgin Mary. Because in Hebrews 7, and some here in Genesis, it says he has no beginning, no ending, no father, no mother, without descent. He had not yet descended into a flesh body. And he says he's the priest of the Most High God. Jesus is our high priest. And it says he's the Son of God. So Jesus, before he ever came to earth as the Savior in a flesh, met him. And it's so beautiful. And that's what Abram just was so amazed. This was Jesus. So Abram just took all the loot that he had gotten from the enemy and gave him one-tenth of that. He just wanted to give him that. That is so beautiful to know. So let's begin now with that.
21. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods unto thyself.
Now the king of Sodom, who had been attacked by all of these kings, and all of his people had been stolen, and Lot had been stolen, he was so glad that Abram had rescued the king of Sodom's people, and Lot was very wealthy, so that means that he was a blessing financially to the king of Sodom. So he says to Abram, you did this all by yourself. Why don't you just keep all the loot? You keep all the spoils, the gold and silver from the enemy. Just bring my people back alive, and I don't need anything, which was very generous of him.
22. And Abram said unto the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. 23. That I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine.
Now, Abram's not going to take anything from the king of Sodom, because Sodom and Gomorrah was very wicked in God's sight. God loves the children, and we love people. We're not biased about what you are or what you say, but there are things that are aberrations and abominations, and sodomy is one, because it messes up God's plan. So Abram says, I don't want your gifts. So here's a good lesson for you, especially as you grow in the ministry and come together more and more, because a ministry is, as long as you are full-time, 24 hours a day, have your heart open to God, to turn on the dime, to do anything he wants to say, and you're totally 24 hours a day in love with God, obeying him, you're in a ministry of some sort. But as you do that, you're going to find that people will give gifts, and you don't take a gift from everybody who gives it. I learned this early on in my school. Even though I was legally right, I had a tuition fee for the music lessons. If it was not given in the right attitude, I would not accept it. I would say, I don't want this, thank you very much. And of course, I never ask for money for the ministry, so that takes care of that. But you don't have to take money from just anybody. Let your money be happy money, you'll know.
Lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich.
Beside, Abram said, you'll tell people that you're the one made me rich, and God is making me rich.
24, save only that which the young man had eaten, and the portion of the men that went with me.
The only thing I'll take from you, Abram says to the king of Sodom, that food that my young soldiers, he had a 318 warriors, that you gave them to eat, I'll let you pick up the food bill.
And Anera, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion.
In other words, why don't you give all these young soldiers some good dinner now? They're hungry, so feed them, and I'll let you do that. That'll be your job.
Genesis 15, verse 1.
Now, this is one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. Every chapter is beautiful, and I don't have a favorite. It's all important. But so that you can understand, you need to know what this is. The title of this chapter is God Cuts a Blood Covenant with Abraham, or the Abrahamic Covenant. A covenant is a contract. You know yourself, you sign a contract, it's not supposed to be broken, is it? A contract, a covenant, is a promise. And God says in His Word, my promises are yes and amen. I do not alter the covenant or change the words that come out of my lips. God's not a man that He should lie. So He's going to make a promise to Abram that affects everyone under the sound of my voice, because you are one way or another a descendant of Abram, either biologically through the real seed thereon through Jacob, like some of us are, or you grafted in because you believe in Jesus Christ. So this blood covenant is going to concern you. And of course, what He's about to do is to introduce the good news that through Abram's lineage, eventually would come the Messiah Jesus, who would shed His blood for the remission of sins. Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood covenant. So keep that in mind. Now, what else you want to know before we begin is that primitive man all over this planet, always and even now, they actually practice the cutting of the blood covenant. I used to read stories of missionaries like Stanley and different ones that would go to Livingston, and they would go to the primitive tribes, the different tribes, they would call them tribes in Africa and other primitive places, and they would find that there they practiced the blood covenant. You say, well, what do you mean blood covenant? Remember, it's sacred to them. It can't be broken. Let's just say that you had a tribe here, and they were kind of a small tribe, and they kind of kept watching another tribe over here. They're beginning to bully them a little bit, maybe come and steal a chicken or something. So the smaller tribe goes to another tribe and says, let you and I cut a blood covenant. That means you come up and cover my back, and I'll cover your back, and that way we'll stick together. And once the blood covenant is cut, they would never break it. It's very, very sacred. So how would they do that? They would call a priest. It wouldn't be a Christian priest. They were heathen. But whatever their religion was, they would say, get the holy man here, the priest. And he would bring a glass of wine. And the priest would make a small incision on the wrist of one tribal leader and let the blood drip into the wine. And then he would make an incision on the wrist of the other tribal leader and let a little of that blood drip into the wine. They would stir the wine up. The first tribal leader would drink half of the wine, and the other would drink half of that wine. If you remember that Melchizedek, who was the pre-incarnate Jesus, came to Abram with wine. That represents the blood of Jesus. So see, that is a sacred thing. So there's something innate in all mankind to just kind of stand back and say, whoo, the power of the blood.
Amen.
After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. This was not a body of Jesus that came. He had not yet come in the body. This was not a Bible, which is the Word of God, but this was the Word of God, and the Word of God makes a sound. So the sound spoke to Abram, and the sound, the Word, was God.
In a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward."
So God says, "Abram, listen, I'm going to take good care of you. Don't you worry about anything. And Abram, I have got a great reward for you." You know, God says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you diligently seek God, he's got a reward dangling, a nice carrot for you.
Verse 2, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?"
Now remember, Abram and Sarai were getting on up there in age, and they had no children. God's saying, your heir is gonna finally be the Messiah. So what he's saying in here is, what could you possibly reward me with? I don't want anything. I don't have a child, God. There would be no other reward than that I would want. Don't you think God knows?
"And the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Verse 3, "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, my house is mine heir."
There was some kind of Kawabi law there. It wasn't God's law, that if you didn't have any children, if one of your servants had a child who was born in your house, if you wanted to, you could let them be the heir. So this was one of the employee's children, and Abram treated them nicely. So his name was Eliezer. Said, "Do you mean that I should let him be the heir, God?" Listen to God's answer.
4, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying..."
There goes the Word speaking to Abram. Did you know the Word is speaking all the time? You just got to get your spirit tuned into the right frequency. It's just like the radio. You get that thing just right, you can hear it clearly. God is speaking all the time, all around you. Get your frequency set to hear his voice.
"This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir."
It will be bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh.
5, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them."
The word tell there means to count. See if you can count the stars.
"And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." 6, "And..."
Now he tells him in another place, "Abram, you're going to have so many descendants, they're going to be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky." Did you know that came true? But where are those? People who do not know the Bible or know the history call them the lost tribes of Israel. Not lost at all, only lost to people who do not know the Bible. I know exactly where they are. On down the road, there will be 12 tribes of Israel, Abram's descendants, and they will grow to be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. They had a spat. Two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, changed their name to the house of Judah. They went into captivity in Babylon, but came back to the land of Jerusalem. Some of them are there now, although some are in England, but the larger part are in where Jerusalem is. But the other 10 tribes kept their name, House of Israel. The Bible says those 10 tribes were captured by Sennacherib the Assyrian. History says our ancestors migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, Ireland, Scotland, England, came across the ocean, settled these United States of America, and here we are, the seed of Abraham. Of course, we have many strangers. God said, always welcome the strangers. We're not lost at all. Now you know who you are.
Yeah. We believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
Listen to that beautiful verse. It tells you in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, it says the same thing. Abram believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Righteousness means the righteous acts of saints. In Revelation chapter 19, God tells us that you are going to have to wear something for all eternity, but some will be naked, some will be partially clad, depending on the righteous acts after you got saved. You're not saved by works. Jesus did that. But once you get saved, you're supposed to increase the kingdom. And he says that your fine linen garment, Revelation 19, is woven by your righteousness, righteous acts after salvation. Okay? Everybody got that? Now, he just tells Moses, it says that God counted Abram's faith a work of righteousness. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I live by faith. Look at, boy, I'll enjoy one of my garments. If you live by faith, I don't mean if you say I have faith and the first trouble hits you, you go answer it like the world does. You run to the doctor, you run to the bank, you run to the person. You do it this way, you do it logically. If you truly live by faith, you were saved by faith because you never saw the blood. At least you got that. God counts that as a righteous act. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I shouted on about that. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. Faith is a righteous act. So, let your faith increase.
7, and he said unto him, I am the Lord who brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldean.
That would be today's Iraq.
To give thee this land.
And you know where he's standing now? Right now, it's where Jerusalem is today. See, from Iraq to there, that area they are fighting about all the time. God gave it to Abram and our brother Judah and all of Israel a long time ago. And remember, the 10 tribes of Israel, the larger bulk, are here.
We inherited it, 8, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?
Now, he's not doubting God like Zechariah did in Luke chapter 2. He's kind of stunned about all of this, and he kind of wants to throw out a little fleece test like Gideon did. Sometimes when people just not sure what God means, they'll say, could I throw out a fleece test? I heard Mike Murdoch say, Lord, if that's you, let 30 camels walk through the room right now. Well, they didn't do that. Are you alive? Okay, 30 camels walking through the room. Oh, that's funny. Okay. And so he wanted to pass out, have a fleece test. I personally don't ask for fleece tests because I want to stretch my faith. Faith is a righteous act. I just find it in the Bible, and I believe it, and that's a righteous act, and weaves my gown and do the same thing for you. So he says, can I have some kind of sign that this is my property? I want a sign, he says.
9, and he said unto him, take thee an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon.
Okay, now, what he's going to do, this is the picture. Jesus always speaks in parables. He's going to tell him and illustrate how God's going to cut the blood covenant. Ultimately, the sacrificial animals will become Jesus Christ. That was what I mean. He's the Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Did you know that a heifer cannot be called a heifer if a heifer has a calf, C-A-L-F? Once a heifer has a little baby calf, she can't be a heifer anymore. She's called a cow. So that was a stage of development that God wanted for the heifer. And the heifer is female. There's a she-goat there. Jesus is going to come back and separate the wheat, the sheep from the goats. The goats are the devil's children. But look, they're going to be a part of this blood covenant. And then there's the ram. That's a female lamb. And so that would be the sheep. Everybody, those three sacrificial ones, and I'll get to the turtle dove and the pigeon, they are all female. Why is that? Because God is the voice of authority. God calls himself the husband, and we, the people for whom he died, are the wife. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. The turtle dove and the pigeon are of the same family, which is the dove. The turtle dove is the lovebird. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. They're his father. The pigeon is of the dove family. The dove is Holy Spirit. So we're going to have three symbols of different kinds of people. The rams, God's sheep, God's people. We can cut the blood covenant with them and they'll be saved. The she-goats, Satan's children, can be saved, the Kenites. And the heifer, whosoever will may come. Look at your map of the United States of America. You will notice that the United States of America down there, look at the Florida Keys. It looks just like a heifer. God says, my heifer. He calls Israel his heifer. Okay, I just thought you'd like to know that. I personally thought that was very funny. Okay, so he says, I'm going to pass by these, and the father, the turtle dove, and the pigeon, the Holy Spirit, will be there. Now he's going to let that rest for a moment, because he's showing this to Abram, and a blood covenant is a pretty hard thing to watch.
10, and he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and made each one piece against another.
He cut them in two, and the blood began to pour. And he put one part of the heifer here, and the other part of the heifer here, the she-goat, the ram. But the turtle dove and the pigeon, he did not separate them. But the blood was flowing, but he left an area between them that someone could walk through it. Okay, we got the blood. The sacrifice has been cut. The blood is pouring. Just like our tribal leaders, the incision in the wrist, the blood's pouring in the lamb. Just like on the cross, Jesus, the blood's pouring down.
But the birds he divided not. 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away.
Now, amazing, the fowls and vultures wanted to come and eat that, buzzards and things, so Abram had to shoo them all away. Now, when you finally realize your mission in life and stop getting so hung up on this world, me, myself, and I, and you give it all to Jesus, God's going to give you something to plant. When you start to plant something for God, plant a word, plant a church, plant a school, plant a new property, plant a home, plant a storybook house, plant a church somewhere, the first thing you're going to find, I found it in my school and my ministry, is that all the birds of the air are going to come and try to nest in your tree. That's what Jesus says. The kingdom is likened to a grain of mustard seed. It's so small, but it grows up into a big mustard tree with all of these branches, and all the fowls of the air, the vultures, come and they sit in it. They are drawn by your success. They are drawn by your charisma. They are drawn. The charismatic anointing is so powerful on you, and they want to be a part of this live thing. That would be good if they were there to help you and support you and everything, but for the most part, they are vultures, and they have come many times to trade on your equity. Be careful with whom you align yourself, even in the ministry. We love all people, but don't give your total oneness in a ministry with just any Tom, Dick, and Harry. You'll have to discern the spirits. I will give you an example. Many years ago, I used to drive down to Melbourne every Sunday morning to do the music, piano and organ and things at a church, a wonderful woman, Dr. Mary, there. And she asked me to come, and I did that for her church. And I noticed that she had two new men that started coming, and they seemed so friendly, and they were so excited about everything. And she told me, she said, Sherry, she said, they give their tithe, this big check. She wasn't used to that. She didn't do it for the money, but she was shocked. Why couldn't somebody's actually going to give me some money here for serving the Lord? And she was stunned. And so she was so happy. So one Sunday morning, after we finished the service, we would go back to a little refreshing room back there and have coffee and donuts or something, just to be friendly, and a fellowship hall. And so I closed up my musical organ and piano and things and walked back there, and these two men came up to me, and they were so friendly, and they said, we really like what you did here. Your music is so great. We like your attitude. We're so glad you're here, and we want you to be here. We want to keep you here. But we did want you to know that it's not going to be too long that before we're going to take the controls off, and the old girl will have to go, and boy, are we going to have something big here, and we want you to be a part of that. Well, that got me, because I love the old girl. She wasn't that old, and that hurt my heart. And of course, I told her, and she took care of that. But you see what I'm saying? If God tells you to do something, not everybody's on your page. Many people, even the devil, will send them to trip you up. They can be a plant inside your sanctuary.
12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and horror, a great darkness fell upon him.
A nightmare.
13, and he said unto Abram, know of a certainty that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years.
Now I have to tell you the bad news first, Abram. I'm going to give you these people, but for 400 years, your people are going to be slaves to a nation. 400 years. Hear the bad news first.
14, and also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge.
Well, we know now that that nation was Egypt. We know that Moses delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Remember that?
Yes.
And brought them on in with Joshua and Caleb's help into the promised land. So that's good. Now, about judging Egypt, the Bible says that God's judgment on Egypt was this. Egypt will always be a nation, but will always be a base nation. Will never again be the superpowers. Remember, it used to be really a great nation. And if you notice it today, none of us ever gets excited about Egypt, do we?
No.
And afterward they shall come out with great substance.
Passover night, the children of Israel went over and borrowed clothes and gold and jewelry from their captors, the Egyptians. The Egyptians were so glad to let them go. Please, take all our loot and go. They were wealthy.
15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. And thou shalt be buried in a good old age.
You're going to have a good long life, Abram.
16, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
When Moses and then Joshua led the children of Israel back into the promised land, where Abram is standing right now, God had told the children of Israel to get rid of all of the heathen in there, and some of them were the Amorites, because they were worshiping false idols, and some of them were fallen angels, but they did not do that. So that's what God's saying. There's still a little problem. Some of the enemy is still in the land. You're going to have to clean house if you're going to serve God. You got to get the enemy out of your heart.
17, it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces.
The pre-incarnate Jesus walked upon those bloody pieces, the flaming furnace, the burning lamp. You know what Paul saw? I mean, as Paul, what Abram saw. He saw what John the Revelator saw in Revelation chapter 1. His head and his hair were white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes as a flame of fire. his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. God is a consuming fire. Jesus was saying, I will make myself a body, and I will come to planet Earth and plop myself in a body, and I will be the sacrifice, and I will shed my blood, while the turtle dove and the pigeon, the Father and the Holy Spirit look on to witness, and I will pay your sin debt. The eternal Abrahamic blood covenant, it's yours. It will never, ever, ever be void.
Amen.
18, and the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land.
Right there, okay, that belongs to the seed of Abraham, if everybody's listening.
From the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. 19, and the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Cadamites. 20, the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Raphaims. 21, and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites.
The Jebusites. The Jebusites were there. They were heathen right there when Abram was in the Promised Land. Those heathen were right there. And they called their place Jebus. Many generations on, through the lineage of Abram, would come a wonderful king called David. No, King David. King David would conquer Jebus right there, change its name to Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city of peace. And in Ezekiel chapter 16, God spiritually married Jerusalem. God spread his skirt over Jerusalem and said, this will be my eternal home forever and ever and ever. In Bible times, men wore skirts. The marriage ceremony, he would take that skirt, lift it over the woman, and that was the marriage ceremony. So God made a covenant not only with Abram, but with the place called Jerusalem. Now, after the great white throne judgment, we are told in the latter chapters of Revelation 20, 21, 22, and then in the last chapters of Ezekiel, that when God rejuvenates this earth, acreage restored, we're all in our spiritual bodies, the devil's gone, everything heaven on earth weather back good, that God's going to take the heaven Jerusalem and bring it down to planet Earth, plop it where the earthly Jerusalem is now. And Ezekiel tells us, and so does the Revelation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will dwell in Jerusalem. That will be the capital of the universe, Jerusalem. Right now where Abram's standing, it's a filthy place called Jebus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The Abrahamic blood covenant. Were you blessed?
Yes.
We'll be next time. But right now it's time for Mystery Moment. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, a man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. That's a great word. I mean, the blood covenant. We're still living in it, aren't
we? Blood covenant,
yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, our question today. What does the word apologetics mean?
Apologetics is a subject that is often taught in Christian seminaries to train minister people, and it means to defend the faith. And I think that's so interesting because you might need to know that in England, every king and every queen that has ever been sworn in on their coronation, their first oath as king or queen of England is to defend the faith of Jesus Christ. See the connection there?
Oh, yes.
See from the tribes, don't you see how it's come right into us? That's what it is.
Amen.
Well, David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also a bond, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Colossians.
Thank you, Scott Mercer. That is so beautiful. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. In a moment, I'm going to pray for anyone who's sick. But first of all, if you've not accepted Jesus, if you're not saved or not sure, I want you to be saved. God loves you, and he died for you. Jesus paid that sacrifice. He's that covenant, that blood covenant. So accept him. Pray this prayer with me. Mean it. And he will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then you got a reservation for eternal life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many people.
To bring many people.
To the faith of Jesus.
To the faith of Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you who prayed that and meant it, I invite you, in a few moments, Scott's going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call and leave your message on my voicemail. Please speak clearly and slowly. And then I will be able to pray for you. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. The wings of the laser beams of Jesus' healing virtue. I ask the laser beams will go into the emotions where there has been trauma. Where the trauma is so deep that the person has closed off their heart and shut it up like a dead person and put a concrete wall and a door around it. I ask that laser beams will go in there and shatter the concrete and open up the wound, pour in the oil and wine, heal the trauma and heal and bring the person back to life. Bring the person back to love again in Jesus' name. Let there be rejuvenation of spirit. Let there be a wonderful positive attitude of hope, of love, of faith coming out. For this in itself is healing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone praise the Lord. That's the best health prescription I can give you. Praise him. Thank him. Love him. Get out of your poor little me, baby, and shout for him. And with Jesus' stripes, you will be healed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Oh, that was a word to someone. Your problem isn't your body. Your problem is that you've got it all closed in. Open up and you'll be free. Praise you. I want to give a shout out and thanks to my twin friend, Scott Merson, for his beautiful Scott stuff. We appreciate you, Scott. And don't forget that every Sunday, 5 p.m., we do this radio broadcast, and all of you are welcome. Wednesday, 6 p.m. And what you want to remember is that nothing is given you to keep. You're going to implode. You're getting so many jewels here. I know a man one time, he came in here, he would just go find him somebody and say, listen, I'm going to teach you what Sherry taught me last night. In other words, he was smart. He said, if you give out, you'll get more. And he wanted to share it. See, by sharing, then that increases you. Amen. But you don't want to, even for that reason, you want to share it because you love those people. And no, they don't know why they're there. You know, most people don't know why they're walking on the earth. They're just struggling to get through. And here you are, you have the mystery, you understand the whole thing, and you're living a happy life. It doesn't have anything to do with your body or your work or anything else. If you are madly in love with God and you're in his will, you got one more joy blossoming all over you. You do. Now you do. That's just, it just goes with the territory. So go and share and tell people about that. Now, Jesus said of himself, thy word is true. I said the word is true, John 17:17. And his name is called the word of God. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock, your host, saying I love you and I thank you with all my heart for listening. God bless you. I appreciate you out there. I feel your spirit and I love you. Keep listening and tell others and pray for us as we pray for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now until next time, don't forget, come back next time and hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Time has kept me waiting, anticipating for something more. Life has kept me looking, but I'm not certain what I'm searching for. Faith is like the sun. Sometimes fading, but there'll be a day when it fades no more. Love, it lasts forever. Maybe that's what we're all looking for. Faith, just like the sun. Some face.
over the mountains and the sea. Your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart. Let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands. For I will always sing when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do your life right.
Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. this life are gone, I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars has flown. Life just for us. Oh, forgive us of seeking your hand and not your face. Come and empty us, Father, we're desperate in this place. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire. Give us your desire. Desires, hold us close to you.
built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When the mountains are falling, when the waters are rising, I shall be safe in you. Though the nations are quaking, every kingdom be shaken, still I will rest in you.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM
102.3. Our challenge today is a generation of men who are running from God and want to know why their wives won't submit to them.
Dr. Tony Evans says the solution is quite simple.
If you are